you know, I've given everybody a break. I haven't talked to you for quite some time. And not very often on Sunday anymore because I come, gee, there in the time room, my voice. But I just accidentally, without paying attention to what I should be doing, I booked myself for this Wednesday and then again on Sunday. Woo! So if I don't see everyone, I'll be there on Sunday. I am going to know it's because you don't want to hear me.
You better have to work.
No excuses.
I have to work.
Shh.
Ask him.
Well,
yeah.
Joe, don't you help her out? Well, as everybody knows, I'm a Bible thumper. Love that book. And I wholeheartedly believe that everybody should be reading it. Praying before they read it so that they get the right answer for themselves, because it is the living word of God. So I would just like to just go through a couple of the passages that I found to be rather interesting and see what it says to you. This is a very short one. It's James 5. Don't grumble about each other. Are you yourselves above criticism? Of course, we don't do this, but that's talking to the other people out there. Besides, it's one of the shortest little sentences in the Bible, so we probably don't have to pay too much attention to it. But then I can come over here to Ephesians 4:5, and it says, now your attitudes and thoughts must all be constantly changing for the better. Be a new and different person, holy and good. Clothe yourself with this new nature. Stop being mean, bad-tempered and angry. Quarreling, harsh words, and dislike of others should have no place in your lives. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God has forgiven you. I suppose they were talking to me today. No, of course, they weren't talking to me today. I just happened to pick the Bible up. That's not telling you a lot. Now, you know, we all hear about the nice things about the Bible where you can ask for anything, and we always have help available, and, you know, we can stop, we can take a look at all of that, and it feels pretty comforting and feels pretty good, and I like it. Now let me come on over here to this one is, you look at them up yourself if you want, because they're wonderful places in this divine book. I'm so glad somebody wrote it. We should not be like cringing, fearful slaves, but we should behave like God's very own children, adopted into the bosom of his family and calling to him Father, Father. We don't have to go through anybody to get to God. For his Holy Spirit speaks to us deep in our hearts and tells us we really are God's children. And since we are God's children, we'll share in his treasures. For all God gives to his son Jesus is now ours too. Well, that sounds pretty good. Well, then what is it that causes us to not just be completely happy all the time when all that's available to us? Well, I think one of the paragraphs that helps us understand that is back here in Luke 6. If you give, you'll get. So what you're giving out, you're getting back. Not be fine if it stopped there, but it says your gift will return to you in full and overflowing measure, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more and running over. So whatever you give out, you're getting back. Is that making our life getting it back, keep up and running over? Is that making our lives a little less than just wonderful and peaceful all the time? Maybe. Mm-hmm. Whatever measure you use to give, large or small, will be used to measure what's given back to you. So if you just take that sentence in and think about it for a while, it pretty much tells you that we are building our own lives right here on earth. And we have nobody else to blame if it's not going 100%. Now that doesn't feel very good because we'd much rather blame somebody else. At least I would, maybe not. Maybe you would much rather shoulder the blame yourself. I'd sneak out of it every once in a while if I could. But there's no sneaking out of it. As you give, you will get heaped up and running over. Heaped up and running over. So with that thought in mind, you know that dear little email that we have? Sometimes I get some things that's just not worth the time of reading, and then sometimes I get some things that really delight me. And this is a prayer that was sent to me. So let me just read it and see if in any way here are we building ourselves a good life or a crumpled life, a troubled life or a happy life, joyous life or non-joyous life. Now, I don't know if anybody, you might want to show your hands, but I doubt it. I wouldn't. Dear Father, help us remember that the jerk who cut us off in traffic last night, the single mother who worked 9 hours that day and is rushing home to cook dinner, help with homework, do the laundry, and spend a few precious moments with her children. So when somebody is driving and they don't drive just the way you think they should, do we get impatient with them? Oh, I don't. I don't. I read this before I left the house today, and you know, there's a guy pulled out in front of me, and he, when I was clipping along here, wanting to get there at the restaurant in time to meet whoever was going to meet me at the restaurant. I'm sure if I hadn't got there on time, the whole place would crumble. But here I'm hurrying along, and this guy pulls out 2 miles an hour, maybe three. He saunters down, and he is looking for where he's supposed to be, and he pulls in again. I thought, good, I get past him. I didn't think as nice a thought as I should have. He was holding me up. Well, I took a look at him as I went by, but I didn't just wish him any harm or anything, but I did think, my, if you're having that much trouble driving when you're older, let's hope they start teaching the old ladies and old men how to drive. He's older and he drives like that, because I'm being sarcastic, because he was young. And it's my age that they're wanting to start testing all the time. So I'm being sarcastic, am I? But oh, cute little face on him, he's probably about 35 years old. I'll just send him love. Now how do you run that all through your mental stage? Knowing full well that God's listening to your every thought. God rides with us in the car, you know. And I know cars are for make good transportation, but I think it's also a good time when God gets to listen to our thoughts really well. Because sometimes we wouldn't walk up and say some things that we can say while we're in the car driving along. What do you think? Well, we do need to watch that, because we are building our day and tomorrow and the next day on what we're giving out mentally, physically, emotionally, whatever we give out. We'll come back to it, heaped up and running over. It didn't in that paragraph say anywhere about gold watches, or you don't have to have fancy bows on your present. Just think the thoughts. So next time, when that happens, let's allow ourselves to curb our thoughts a little more than I did mine today. And mine wasn't too bad. But God was listening. But no wonder they talk about Judgment Day, huh? Well, the next thought is, Lord, help us to remember that that pierced, tattooed, disinterested young man who can't make change correctly is just a worried 19-year-old college student balancing his apprehension over final exams with his fear of not getting his student loan for the next semester. Can we feel as though maybe, even if they're young and they're trying to count change, that you're just not, maybe not having a really good day? Or does that annoy you? You don't have to answer me, because God's listening to your thoughts. What do you think when you see some kid, you know, that's not acting the way you think he should be acting, or looking the way you think he should be looking? What are your thoughts? And if you realize that God, the creator, the top entity, is listening. And Lord, remember us. That's scary looking bum begging for money in the same spot every day, who really ought to get a job, is a slave to addictions that we can only imagine in the addictions that we can only imagine in our worst nightmares. Do you pray for people like that every once in a while? You see them, they're hungry. Passed a young man today, and he was so young, he was pushing a huge cart. What brought him to that stage? What brought him to that? You can't tell me he's happy and joyous. Was it addiction? Was it his parenting? Did he have a head injury? What? We don't need to know, do we? What we need to know is that he's part of us, we're all part of the body of God, and we need to be thinking kind thoughts. Nothing like this one. Help us to remember the old couple walking annoyingly slow through the store aisles and blocking our shopping progress, are savoring this moment, knowing that based on the biopsy report that she got back last week, this will be the last year that she'll go shopping, that they'll go shopping together. Would you be very annoyed with the old folks? Me, of course. You people can be so annoyed at us old folks. You can be so annoyed at these old folks that get in there and they drive too slow and they walk too slow in front of you or whatever the story is. It'd be nice if we just piled them up with good thoughts. Because someday you'll be old. And you'll hope that the good thoughts you sent out are coming back. Now, if we allow ourselves to think about the idea that the Bible also tells us that, the Bible also tells us that we are, as we give, we receive, heaped up and running over. And it also tells us that we're the only one that's going to judge ourselves. Do you know the Bible tells us that? Does anybody believe me on that? Do you believe me? We're the only ones that's going to judge us? There's a paragraph here in Acts that if you would choose to read it, it will tell you you're the only one that's going to judge yourself. Because there is nobody else to judge you. It says that God won't, the angels won't, Jesus Christ won't. So who's going to judge you? You. That's why you know what you're doing all the time. And it says, somewhere here in Acts, when I find it, I'll read it to you. Has anybody need me to read it, or do you already know that I'm telling you the truth?
Read it.
Write it down.
Okay.
Find it.
All right. It's in Acts. I'm pretty sure Paul's the one that said that, a pretty smart man. No, it isn't. It's Romans. Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own will? God, and the word is no. So don't think you're going to go to the pearly gates and God's going to decide whether he lets you in or not. It doesn't work that way. Besides, he's not a he. God is love. And let love judge you every day. So look in your basket and see what's returning to you. And you'll know you're the one sending it out. Who then will condemn us? Will Christ? And the answer is no. Read it for yourself here in Romans 8. Who then can ever keep Christ's love from us? And it also says, so that eliminates God and it eliminates Christ. And it says down here, for I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from his love. Death can't and life can't and the angels won't. Our fears for today and our worries about tomorrow, where we are, high in the sky or in the deepest ocean, nothing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God. Now, that be the case, then we don't have to be perfect, but we do need to clean up our act as best we can. And it's not easy. If it was easy, we'd all be doing extremely well, wouldn't we? We would probably have finished our earth walk. We wouldn't need to be down here anymore. But when you realize that we're all a part of each other, you certainly then realize that we have to stop complaining about other people and only work on ourselves and do our best to be a wonderful example of love. Say Sarah, I think your Aunt Connie has been a good example of love for you as you were growing up. Am I right? So that's what we want to look at. That's what we want to grow toward, being an example of love. This little email also says, Heavenly Father, remind us each day of all the gifts that you give us. The greatest gift is love. It's not enough to share that love. It's not enough to share that love with those we hold dear. But open our hearts not to just those who are close to us, but to all humanity. Let us be slow to judge and quick to forgive. Show patience. Show patience, sympathy, and love. Okay, whoever did that, they were just saying I'm right.
Everybody say bless you.
Bless you.
I think it was Marcus. I think it was Marcus, don't you? And it sounded like Marcus.
Thanks, Mel.
So here's this minister. He's up here and he's been giving this little talk and he's been, you know, he's talking how we have to all love each other. Not me. I just let you know I'm still working on it. But listen to this guy. He's doing his service. And he's on Sunday morning, the preacher spoke tenderly and eloquently on the compassionate Jesus. One of his points was that Jesus loved little children, gathered them to him, and he blessed them. And it was a moving sermon of great substance. And the following week, he was in a different role. He was the director of the church's Vacation Bible School. The children were fresh out of school, possessed with the vacation spirit and ready to turn loose their pent-up feelings. Which brings us to another point. It's so easy to do lip service to all of this that God wants us to do. And you certainly can say if you've never raised a child, you might be really good at telling people how to do it. Or if you were never robbed, you could say, you've got to forgive those robbers. You know, if you've never had alcohol in the family, you might get in there and tell people how they can live with it. You know, when you come up against it yourself, the minister had a little trouble because after a few days, the preacher's nerves became edgy, and added pressure was the contractor pouring concrete on the parking lot while he's trying to have the Sunday school. They just happened to bring concrete in and pour it, and then the breaking point came. The minister spotted Bobby stepping in the concrete. He thundered. I need Marcus to do this. He thundered. Bobby! 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 Marcus, did you wake up?
You want me to help you know?
It's getting louder each time. Get out of there! Don't you know better than that? Bobby's mother, who little never rebuked, darling, went home crying. And immediately, the irate mother called the nerve-tattered preacher and reminded him of last Sunday's sermon. It was excellent rhetoric, she said, but what about the practice? If you love Bobby, why did you speak so harshly to him? And he said, listen, lady, replied the minister, I love Bobby, but I must admit, I'm being tempted to love him in the abstract, not in the concrete. So really, Christianity is a concrete religion. Jesus Christ said, if you test it out, try it, it works, it'll make your tomorrow better. It pertains to the practical and particular as opposed to the general. It centers our thoughts on that which is real and involves us in the living of actual events. That's why you might think that you could practice and have your spiritual growth very enlarged by taking yourself out and living on in the middle of nowhere where you didn't have to put up with people, and you say that I could do such a good job, maybe, but I'll bet you wouldn't learn the lessons that you need to learn through this trip to the Earth Way. We need to have people. We need to interact. We need to be able to pray for each other, cheer for each other, and not complain and condemn each other, but love each other and help each of us learn the lessons while we're here on this Earth Way. When we go free, we'll be very thankful for the more lessons we learn while we're here, the more joy and joyous life we'll have while we're here if we handle it properly and without anger and greed and hatefulness, and just go free and just feel free and will be able to rise high enough that we can reach more involved souls. So let's do well while we're here. So that when we leave, we feel like it's a job well done. But I still get to do my hitting. What? No one to save me but me, myself? No one to follow even if I had great wealth? Well, it seems to me I should be afraid when I think of all the errors in this life I've made. But yet I know I'm loved by a source divine who will never leave me, and I can't be left behind. Because I'm attached to God's own love beam, and I've never lost, and I'm always seen. And I only need to do whatever I can to be an example for God of a loving woman or man. Polish the body that houses my soul, as the soul grows in fullness of love as its goal. And this seems to be fun, doesn't seem hard at all, when I realize that I have helped through it all. And this life is quite short, but this opportunity for this opportunity on earth, so I must remember to increase my worth, the worth of being thankful and loving in all that I do, because before very long my earth life will be through, and I'll be returning to the source from which I came, and I want to be pleased as to how I played life's game. Thank you for giving me.